the anchor holds, though the ship is battered.
On behalf of Pastor Randy Barton and the church family at Anchor Baptist, we welcome you to our weekly broadcast. In just a moment, we'll share with you a message by Pastor Barton, but first, we would like to invite you to join us in person. You'll find Anchor Baptist Church at 3232 Hendersonville Highway in Pisgah Forest. Also, our services are streamed live on Facebook at Anchor Baptist Church. Our prayer is that today's message will be a help to you.
In spite of the storm.
Book of Luke, chapter number 1. In the early church, many of the famous passages of Scripture were put to music and put to song. And of course, they were not in the English language, of course. They would have initially been mostly in Greek, and then they would have also, of course, in Rome, they would have been in Latin. And so there were, but there are a series of things that, of sayings or concerning the Christmas story that are, that people said. They were discourses, and I say people, the angels also chimed in. There is one called, and most of these are in Latin, called the Magnificat. And that's Mary. That's the Annunciation. That's her response. That's what Mary had to say. And it's a very difficult place that Baptists have, that the Catholics put too much emphasis on Mary. Emphasis that does not belong nor is deserved. And on the other hand, to offset it, sometimes the Baptists don't put enough emphasis on it. But what Mary had to say, my friend, puts the grease on the squeak when she said that she, her Savior, she needed a Savior just like everybody else. Zacharias, he testified after, of course, the vision and being told what would take place, and it's called the Benedictus. The angel came and made his statement and told what would take place, and it's called the Evangel. Then there was the angelic choir that appeared in Luke chapter 2, and suddenly with the angels, there was the multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, that's called the Gloria. And then there's actually one more. There's two more. There's one in Latin called Nunc Dimittis. And that was what Simeon had to say in the temple after Christ was born. But the first one was Elizabeth. Now Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary. Elizabeth was the wife of Zacharias the priest. And all of that is very important as we put in and look at these things. And so I want you to look with me. I'll give you the background as we go, but I want to just read what was said. I just want to read the actual words that were mentioned. And they begin in verse number 42 of Luke chapter number 1. Take your Bible and stand with me if you will. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 42. Now, I'll come back to this, but notice that the Bible starts out, and she spake with a loud voice. It was not normal for women to speak with loud voices. They were kind of subdued. She was not in that role. She was speaking prophetically. God filled her, and she was speaking prophecy, words of prophecy. And this is what she said. She said it to Mary, but she said it to us. It was recorded in the Holy Writ of Scripture. These words were inspired. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salvation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And that is called the Beatitude. Somebody said, wait a minute, I thought the Beatitudes were in Matthew 5. Well, the Beatitudes, plural, but the reason they named that, because the word blessed, it's the word beatitude, it's the same word. And so Matthew 5 is blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. Well, in this passage, we find three times the word blessed is used. And the word blessed means happy. The word blessed means, for us, blessed. And if you're blessed, you're happy, right? Blessed. And so there's three times that that's used, and so therefore it was named by the early fathers as the Beatitude and was put to music. And it is actually still sung today as a part of the Magnificat. That is included. So the Magnificat and the Beatitude are put together, and it's sung as a part of the liturgy still in the Roman Church even today. And so with that in mind, let's bow our heads together, please. Father, we need your help, Lord, more than we need our breath. Lord, more than we need our life, we need your help. Lord, would you empower us? Would you help us? Lord, would you use us this morning? May the Spirit of God have free right away, and Lord, speak to every heart, and we'll give you glory in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. So you are all very familiar. I don't have to spend a lot of time in the preliminary of telling you that Mary was a virgin, a spouse to a husband to be married by the name of Joseph. They were both of the tribe of Judah. All the way back to Genesis chapter number 3, there had been the promise of the seed of the woman. Certainly, all of the women of the tribe of Judah knew that there would be a star come from that, the line of the tribe of Judah. But God used an unassuming man by the name of Joseph to be the surrogate father, or rather the stepfather, the adoptive father. And he would use a young virgin by the name of Mary to be the mother. And so these things have come to pass, and she has been told what's taking place. And she's also, and I'll share this a little further when we go there and when we get there, but Let's just put in verse number 39, okay? And let's back up a little bit, and then I'm going to give you the backstory. We'll drop back in the chapter, and we'll pick up the backstory as we expound this morning. I want to begin with the thought. I want you to think about, now, something supernatural has happened, something that's never happened to anyone, no one. And it looks like at the beginning that Mary's going to be called to go it alone. But in the course of this, the angel Gabriel will tell her and drop a hint about her cousin Elizabeth also being with child, which, by the way, was a pretty big deal because she was old and barren. And so that was going to be a sign. And basically what God was saying was, just like Abraham and Sarah's womb, it was the dry womb of Sarah, like a root out of dry ground. If God can give Sarah and Isaac, certainly God can give Elizabeth a John the Baptist. And if God can give Sarah and Isaac and Elizabeth a John the Baptist, certainly God can give you the Son of God by means of the virgin birth. And the Bible says, so she, the angel hinted, and he didn't tell her to go, but he told her something else that was taking place. So what's you can't tell anybody. You can't tell anybody this miraculous thing that's happening. But apparently, Zacharias and Elizabeth are in on it to some degree. So what are you going to do? Well, you're going to leave Galilee, where you're from, and you're going to head out as hard as you can run toward Judea, the hill country, and you're going to find them, and you're going to find out what in the world do you know about this? Bible says that Mary arose in those days, verse 39, went into the hill country with haste. I bet she did. into a city of Judea. Into the city of Judea. And the Bible says, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now, it is recorded in the Talmud, which is the collection of Jewish writings. And I'm in no way throwing off on the Jewish people. But the Jewish rabbis had to cover up the miracle of the virgin birth. They had to. Because it went against what their dogma. So they had to cover it up. And so it is penned in the Talmud. I've read it. From the Talmud, I've read it. That Mary was molested by a Roman guard and he was the father of Christ. That was the lie that the rabbis told to cover up the virgin birth. Nothing could be more sacrilegious. But I've got proof that didn't happen. You say, how? Well, the Bible says she was a virgin. But let's just use a little bit of common sense. Let's say that I'm getting hard up for money, and I'm going to go down here and I'm going to knock off a liquor store. Right? And I'm gonna steal what money they got. And I've got a mask on. And I show them my gun and I get all the money out of the register. And I jump in my car and I take off to the sheriff's department just as fast as I can run and hide. As a bank robber, a liquor store robber, I go hide at the sheriff's department. And I go in and sit down with a big bottle of money in my hand, and I go in and sit down, my gun on my side, and they say, can I help you? Oh, I'm just seeking refuge in here. And sir, can I ask you, why are you seeking refuge? Well, the law's looking for me, and I'm seeking refuge here. Don't let them find me. And they would say, sir, we've got a place right back here that you can stay, and we'll lock the door behind you, and we won't let nobody else in, okay? Let me just show you where it's at. Got a hiding place. It's even got bars on the doors. They can't even break in and get to you. Come on back. Is that what they would say? Think of this. Mary was betrothed. Betrothment's much more serious than engagement. Anyone can break off an engagement at any time. But a betrothal was marriage without cohabitation. You were officially married without. There was a one-year waiting period before the cohabitation took place. She was officially married. The only way that you could break a marriage was by a bill of divorcement. It's the only way you could do it. You could not break a betrothal. Mary was betrothed. That took her crime, if she indeed had done this deed that most people would think. For unmarried people, I'd say it this way, it was a misdemeanor. Fornication is the term the Bible uses. It would be a misdemeanor. It was a sin. It was wrong. And you know what the penalty was? Marriage. But if you had already committed yourself to someone else, if you had made that covenant and made that promise with someone else, the term changed from what we would consider a misdemeanor, fornication, to a felony called adultery. And the adultery, given the set of circumstances, had Mary stepped out on Joseph, she could be stoned to death. But get this, who would be doing that? The high priest would make that determination and would issue the sentence for her to be stoned. So naturally, if you're guilty of adultery, you're going to run to the high priest's house, right? That don't even make good sense in lost logic. Even an atheist, that don't make good sense in atheist logic. But that's what she did. She ran to the high priest's office. Why? Because she knew she was innocent. And she knew, hallelujah, that she would be protected because the truth will set you free. And she was telling the truth, and she had nothing to hide. And so she was going to go tell the high priest, the one who could sentence her to death on the spot. She's going to go tell the high priest everything that happened and find refuge in his very house. Some said, oh, it's because they were cousins. You need to understand, she wasn't Zacharias' cousin. She's Elizabeth's cousin. And Zacharias could be stoned himself if he didn't carry out the rule of the law. And so he had no choice. Just like a lawman has no choice, friend or foe, he has no choice. He has to carry out the law without partiality. Well, the same thing was true with Zacharias. He had to carry out the law, and he had to carry out all the tenets of the law. And so Mary took off to find counsel at the high priest's house, at Elizabeth's house. So there's the counsel that Mary sought that brought this all about. But then there's the comfort that Mary secured. I want you to look what the Bible says. So let's pick up on verse 40. And entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. There's no break in the action. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation. So from the time it took it to go from Mary's mouth to her ear, the Bible says the babe leaped in her womb. That's what it says. John the Baptist had a running fit before he's ever born. Prove me wrong. He did do it. He had a running fit before he was ever born. And this is not the morning for it, but let me just throw this in. If you've got any question whether or not a human being is a human being until birth, an unborn little boy recognized the Son of God, who was but an embryo at that point. But he recognized him. Hear me? Study Jacob and Esau. The Bible said that Jacob and Esau got in a wrestling match before they were born. You say, that couldn't have happened. It did happen. They wrestled. They wrestled. There was strife in the womb by that set of twins. And they were not identical twins. They were twins, but they were not identical twins. There was strife in the womb. And there was strife to the day they died. And there was two nations in there. And those two nations did not get along. And by the way, we heard it on the news this week. Those two nations have still not gotten along. And those two nations are at war, even as we speak. And don't be fooled by this thing, the Palestinian race. There is no such thing. It's like saying the Appalachian race. There is no Appalachian race. Appalachia is a region. Palestine is a region. So those that live there, those Hebrews, they're Palestinian Jews because of where they live, just like we're Appalachians. It's by the region. And then if you live somewhere else, you'd be whatever that region was. And so the Ishmaelites that are there, the children of the Ishmaelites, Isaac and Ishmael, and then the children of Esau, Jacob and Esau that live there. Those children, those people, they're at strife, they're still in strife, and they're called Palestinian because they live in that area. But there is no Palestinian language, there is no specific Palestinian culture, and there is no Palestinian race, just so you know. And by the way, England and the world councils tried to solve the Palestinian problem when they deeded Transjordan to them. The whole country of Jordan, way bigger than Israel. And that was supposed to be the solution at the end of World War I. But it didn't work, did it? They want that little bitty parcel, that little bitty postage stamp about the size of Western North Carolina. That's what they want. But if you'll notice what everybody's saying, what their chant is, they don't just want land for peace. They want the destruction of the nation of Israel. They're crying from the land, from the river to the sea. That means push the Jews into the sea and drown them all. That's the idea. That's the idea. Now, having said that, let's move on. There is that instant sign. The Bible said the babe leaped in the womb. And then there is an inspiring song. Now, again, we're not used to calling this a song, but oftentimes, well, Moses' song. Remember what Moses said when he came out of the Red Sea? Remember the thing? It's called Moses' song. And it doesn't, to us, it doesn't, it's not in meter, it doesn't seem to rhyme, it doesn't seem to have any of those characteristics. But apparently, maybe in the Hebrew language it did to a degree, or maybe they just put it to, maybe they just put music to it so they could remember it. Maybe they just, so they could remember it over and over again. They tell me that some of the Psalms, they rhyme in the Hebrew language. Some of them rhyme and some of them have meter, and some of them don't. Some of them are, what's it called when you write poetry that's not, that doesn't rhyme? What is it called, prose? Is that what it's called? What's poetry that don't write, that don't rhyme? Prose? Okay. So when you're writing in prose, it's still poetry, but it doesn't rhyme. Well, how do you write a poem? It doesn't rhyme. I never did understand that. I thought all poems rhyme. Well, same thing is true. These songs that the Bible has. Well, okay, let me give you one. How about the Song of Solomon? Is that what it says? What's the name of that book? The Song of Solomon? Don't sound like a song, does it? But it's a sonnet. It's words that were given. It was a soliloquy, if I could say it that way. Maybe that would help people to understand what I'm trying to say. And so there is that inspired song. The Bible said, and this is what took place, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Make no mistake, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Just as sure as John was filled with the Holy Ghost, as the New Testament says, from his mother's womb. Now, I want you to understand something, though. Listen to me. We're not in Acts chapter 2. There had been fillings of the Holy Ghost down through the Old Testament. Samson was full of the Holy Ghost. Multiple times in his strength, he was full of the Holy Ghost, and he did miraculous things. But then he'd go and mess up and carry on and carouse and all. He wasn't, it's not the filling that you and I understand. We have an indwelling. We call it filling, but we have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament economy did not. Mary did not. I mean, she was filled with the Holy Ghost. It was in her stomach. It was in her womb. The Spirit of God was literally dwelling inside her. But as far as that indwelling spirit, as far as I know, Mary got indwelled with the Holy Ghost like you and I get indwelled with the Holy Ghost. I believe she was in the upper room in Acts chapter number 1, Acts chapter number 2. But that's when she got indwelled. She enjoyed carrying the Son of God. She enjoyed raising the Son of God. She enjoyed following the Son of God. But she was indwelled with the Spirit of the Son of God on Pentecost just like everybody else. John was filled, but that doesn't mean that he got saved in the womb. Somebody says, we got to be saved before you can be filled. Not the type of filling that I'm talking about. Do you remember when Saul was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied to the place that they said, is Saul among the prophets? Did he not say that? He went to cause them harm, and the Spirit of God came on him, and he prophesied all day. I mean, he prophesied himself about half to death. And he was there to do mischief, and God got on him till he couldn't help it and stopped him. I'll go one step further. I can read my Bible where a jackass prophesied. And if God can fill a donkey with the Holy Ghost and he can speak words, then surely you understand what I'm talking about with that supernatural, that Spirit of God for that moment, for that time. And the Bible says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost and she spake out with a loud voice, which again was not typical, and said, I want to show you three things that she said. There are three times the word blessed is used. She says, blessed art thou among women. So I would say, begin, start with, there is the blessed salutation. Blessed art thou among women. The scripture goes on and backs up and tells us why she was blessed. Back in verse number 28 of Luke chapter number 1, the Bible says that the angel said, hail, thou that art highly favored. Highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou. Notice the word among. What does your Bible say? Among. One of the dogmas of the Roman church is, their Bible says above. Not among. Above. There's four dogmas concerning Mary. One was that she, her that she was born without sin. That Mary was born without sin. She was never a sinner. That's one of them. An immaculate conception. I've made the mistake before of calling the virgin birth the immaculate conception. That is not what they're talking about. The immaculate conception means that Mary was immaculate, meaning she had no sin nature. And that's simply not true. That's simply not true at all. And somebody said, well, you can't prove that. Maybe I can. There was a time that Jesus went out prophesying and preaching. And his mother and his brethren came to take him away because they thought that he was kind of a little bit loony. So, preacher, are you saying that Mary doubted the Son of God? I am. It's in your Bible. And as a matter of fact, depends on how you read it, in John 2, she tried to tell him what to do, like a son. He very quickly responded because he wasn't acting in the sonship role. He was acting in the Savior role. And she backed up quickly and said, whatever he saith unto you, do it. She was trying to force his hand, and he said, and Mary herself, well, I won't spoil it for now, but Mary herself confessed him as her Savior. And can I say this way? An immaculate conception needs no Savior. It would have been another Eve on earth, and that is not what she was. She was a blessed woman. She was a highly favored woman. The Lord was with her, and she was blessed among women. Oh, yes, she was. She was blessed among women. But the Bible says that she was just a woman. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, as any other woman would have been, and cast in her mind what salutation that this should be. She questioned it. What? So you saying that Mary questioned an angel? Yep. Just as any other normal human being would have questioned it. Of course she did. And so the blessed salutation. But then there is the blessed revelation. The Bible said that the angel went on to, or that Elizabeth rather, went on to say, blessed art thou among women, and, are you following me in your Bible? Verse number 42, she spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And so the second part, the first thing that Elizabeth said was the blessed salutation. Blessed art thou among women. But then there is a blessed revelation. Happy day. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And she says this in verse 43. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord, if there's any question about who we're talking about, that the mother of my Lord should come to me. She's her younger cousin, but she recognizes her as the mother of my Lord. For lo, as soon as thy voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And by the way, it wasn't the salutation of Mary that caused John to take a running fit. It was the presence of the Son of God that caused him to leap. He'd been asleep. John been asleep. He's just there doing what babies do. He's just enjoying himself. He's taking a nap, and he heard somebody talking and heard Mary's voice and heard him salute his mama, and he woke up and said, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on? And he sprung to life, friend, and leaped in his mother's womb. And the scripture says, if you drop back, look back in verse number 30, let's just look what was said. Let's just look about what took place. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So we said this is the revelation. The Bible reveals Mary standing with God. Favor. She's found favor. She wasn't God. She wasn't the mother of God. But she found favor with God. Secondly, verse 31, it reveals the mercy of God's salvation. The Bible says, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, and capital S. It means Jehovah is salvation. In the Old Testament, it was in Hebrew, it was rendered Joshua. But in transliteration, it's rendered Jesus. But it's the same word, Joshua and Jesus, just two different languages. From the Greek to the English, back to the Hebrew. Same word, Jehovah is salvation. And in your Bible in the Old Testament, the word Lord will be capitalized oftentimes because it's the name of Jehovah. Well, I think it fitting that the translators capitalize the name of Jesus because he was Jehovah is salvation. Hallelujah. There is the mercy of the salvation from God. And then the Bible reveals the might of the Son of God. The Bible says, number one, he shall be great. There's a whole message right there. Ain't never been greater. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. There is no higher. And the Lord shall give him the throne of his father David. There's thrones and dominions, but there ain't no throne like the throne of his father. The Bible says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. She got a promise that her son, sounds like, is not going to have to die. He's going to reign forever and ever and ever and ever. And would have. But there was this one problem. In order for him to be Jesus, Jehovah's salvation, he would have to die. But he wouldn't stay dead. 3 days and he'd rise back up. Then he'd live forevermore. And the Bible says, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. There is the blessed salutation, blessed art thou among women. There is the blessed revelation, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And there is the blessed affirmation. The Bible said, blessed is she that believed. She that believed. The Bible says, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now remember what happened back in verse number 34? And Mary talking, said unto the angel, how shall this be? And she went on to elaborate, seeing I know not a man. The modern perversions of Scripture call her a young woman. My Bible says she was a virgin. And this phrase, how shall, seeing I know not a man. And then the Bible states further about that virgin birth. This was her question, and so she's answered in kind. The Bible says in verse number 35, and the angel now speaking answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest, capital H, shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the capital Son of capital God. Is that what your Bible says? The virgin birth, absolutely, nail it down. And by the way, if you get to watching these science, so-called science programs and things like that, they will begin now airing those things. And Dr. Dougal Diggle down to the school, down to the university will say this, this, and that about Christ and this, this, and that, and try to explain it away. I want you to understand, let God be true and let all men liars. When they start that mess, turn it off. Turn it off. It's blasphemy. She talks, he tells her of the virgin birth. And by the way, that is essential. It's one of those cardinal doctrines of the faith. If you don't believe he is virgin born, you don't believe he's the Son of God. And if you don't believe he's the Son of God, you're lost and on your road to hell. Period, exclamation point, end of paragraph. It's over, friend. That's just how it is. Take it or leave it. The Bible tells us not only the virgin birth, but the Bible tells us about the visitation to the barren. Verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And that's that hint for her to go and to find refuge and solace with her cousin who's already got something miraculous going on. 6 months now, and 6 months older. John was 6 months older than Christ. They were cousins, second cousins, I guess you'd say, second cousins according to the flesh on Mary's side. But then I want you to see not only the virgin birth and the visitation of the barren, but look at the verification of her belief. Verse number 38. This is a lot to take in, a lot to process, a lot has happened, You realize that she had probably never been further than just maybe to Jerusalem back. I mean, she had a good Bible background, obviously. This is a lot to take in, even in this age of scientific miracles and all these other things. It'd be a lot to take in today. But imagine back in her day. And the Bible says that Mary said, verse 38, again, Mary's the one doing the talking, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." You know what a handmaid did? Anything they were told to do. That's what a handmaid did. What does a handmaid do? Anything that you're told to do. And when she said handmaid, she was saying, here's a blank check. Had to race through her mind. What about the scandal? What about the rumors? What about? Behold the handmaid of the Lord. The story could have been different. The story could have been a greatly different. A lot of things could have been different. She was submitting herself to something that could have had capital crime implication. She could have been executed over a false understanding of what was taking place. And you know what her response to that was? Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. You know what Job said? Now, Job stays subterranean most of the time. Job's like a mole burying in the ground, bless his heart. In lots of chapters, he's subterranean. Man, he's just burrowing, he's just wallering, he's just digging, and bless his heart, Job. But every now and then, Job will come up for air. And when he pops up for air, he'll always say something good. Problem is, you got to read 42 chapters to find it. I hate reading the book of Job because it's back and forth and back and forth and back. It's one of my least favorite books to read. I just soon read Leviticus as I had Job, back and forth and back and forth. Number one, I'd have smacked a couple of my boys, all right, first of all. Come to my house and talk like that to me, I'd have smacked them, all right? That's first thing. We won't go there. Anyway, but Job come to the surface one time and said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. You know what Mary was proclaiming when she said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord? She was saying, though she had Job, by the way. She had read Job. You know what she said? Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. So, well, that wasn't what she was saying, preacher. Read on. Be it unto me according to thy word. I get cold chills on that. Be it unto me according to thy word. A life of scandal. A life of people whispering behind your back. A life of things in the shadows. And a life of suffering in seeing your son crucified. Oh yeah. Remember what Zacharias, or remember what Simeon told her? Your heart will be pierced. He predicted it. Be the salvation of the nations, but it's going to break your heart. What's fixing to take place? 33 years from now. That's what he told her. We'll get to that one, maybe. Take us a while to get there, but we'll get there. We've started playing Christmas songs. We switched the music channel over. We're playing Christmas music. And we try to focus on the spiritual. We do play some sentimental things. But we try not to focus on the secular. We try to stay away from that and stay with the, I get tired real quick of the secular mess. They'll mix in the sacred, but I get tired of the secular. Don't take me long to hear. I get tired real quick of that. But you know, I never get tired of hearing about the Son of God coming to this world. I never get tired of hearing it. I never get tired of preaching it. It don't go out of season in January. There ain't nothing sadder than a Christmas tree lot with a Christmas tree on it December the 26th. I mean, it's over, friend. It's over. That one's going in the junk. That one's going in the scrap. It's over. That one didn't get picked. And there are things that we sing now, it would be odd to be singing them on the 4th of July. It'd be odd to be singing them at other times. But it is never, ever, ever odd to sing about, to preach about, to read about. Or in your Bible reading, you know, it never hits Christmas, does it? And you're reading through your Bible, it don't ever hit Christmas. Reading the Christmas story, you ever skip that? Oh, it's Christmas story, I'm going to skip that. No, it thrills your heart year-round, don't it? To read about the Son of God coming. Well, can I share with you the Christmas song called The Beatitude? And Mary sang it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that Elizabeth said it. And this is what was said. She's saying it about Mary. Blessed art thou, verse 42 of Luke chapter 1. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Let me just ask you a quick question. Are we willing to say, behold the servant boy of the Lord? Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. And are we willing to say, be it unto me according to thy word? You say, preacher, I'm afraid to say that because I'm afraid what it's going to cost. Well, I can assure you it's going to cost. I'm not talking about dollars and cents either. Promise you it will cost. But also promise you there'll be grace forever mile.
Thank you for joining us today for the Anchor Baptist broadcast with our pastor, Dr. Randy C. Barton. Our services are Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:45, worship at 11, Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and midweek service Wednesday night at 7. Services are also streamed live via Anchor Baptist Facebook page and online at anchorbaptist.org. Anchor Baptist Church is located at 3232 Hendersonville Highway in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. May the Lord richly bless you, and we look forward to meeting with you again soon.